Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Good morning and welcome to First Nazarene Church. Thank you for being here today on this Sunday, 1 week from Easter. And hey, one more quick note on the Easter schedule that Ethan just outlined there. If this is your service, the 10:30 service, what we've found in past years that this is the service that when people join us for the first time, it's typically at this time. If it doesn't make too much of a difference in your own plans, if this is regular service, if you would shift to the 9 a.m. or even to Saturday night, by doing so, that might make room for somebody else to be here on Sunday, because we do anticipate this will probably be our largest crowd in service. So just keep that in mind as you make your plans this week. Well, again, thank you for being here for church today. If you're new around here, my name is Galen. I'm the pastor here. I just want to say thank you for being here today. I believe that we are better when we try to follow Jesus and when we do that together. So whether you're here every Sunday or maybe today is even your very first time, thank you for being here. And I would love to meet you and have a conversation with you, get to know you a little bit after the service too. Our mission here as a church is to lead others to come to know God and serve God. Others. And I hope that you can find that here, where you would say, by coming here, by engaging with what's happening here, I'm actually learning to know God more. This isn't just religion and the things that I do and I checked off a list, but I'm actually beginning to know this God who made me. And then I'm finding purpose as I serve other people. Well, today, as we wrap up our Fixer Upper series, if you're new with us, this is our sixth week. We've been in this concept, this idea of Fixer Upper, walking through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it is the last week. You can always go back and watch those previous messages. And this week, I wanted to share with you a little bit, why are we in this series? What's the picture? Why Fixer Upper? Why are there things on the stage even? Here's the picture I have. You know, when God is driving the neighborhood looking to buy a house, and some of you have done that too, he sees that one that it's got a ton of potential, but maybe through the years it's got a little wear and tear, it needs some work done. We would term it a fixer-upper type house. And God says, you know what? I'll take it. Because it's got good bones, but I could see the potential of what I would do with it. I think that's the picture for us because I believe God loves each and every one of us just as we are today, but he also loves us too much to leave us as we are today. And so we follow his teachings and he's changing and transforming. It's a renovating type work, and really it is from the inside out. For us, it's a renovation of the heart. And if you've been with us over these last 5 weeks, I think we've probably dealt with some hard things of forgiveness, of anger, whatever it's been that you say, man, God is doing the work even in my life. And today, as we kind of wrap that up, like I said, I got to share something with you, and it's not a moment I'm super proud of from my life this last week, and maybe this is a confession, if you will. But it's funny to me how when I go to preach about something, oftentimes God will lead me through that thing first, so that by the time I get up here to share with you, I'm like, no, I've actually wrestled and walked with that even just this week. This week, Wednesday morning, I'm pulling out to drive my daughter to kindergarten and to drop her off. And I come to Bell Road, and I don't know if you've ever been trying to pull out of the church parking lot, specifically at night when Nazarek's leaving, or preschool when all the parents are leaving. Bell Road is crazy, and there are cars just flying by. If you're anything like me, sometimes you look out and you're like, well, there's a gap between that car and that car. I could like shoot the gap and join in real fast, you know? And I look over, and this car just boom, flies by. And I have this thought, oh, crazy Chicagoland drivers. Are you serious? Finally, I pull out and I'm driving my daughter to school. And then I look in my rearview mirror and there is a lady on my bumper. And if you're here today, I'm just saying, you get some follow space is okay for everyone. Like, she was on my bumper to the point, I don't even know the color of her car. because in the rearview mirror, the hood was so close, I couldn't see the color. It was just her windshield and her, and she was not happy. I looked down. I was like, I'm driving the speed limit. Like, what's going on here? Again, I said, crazy Chicagoland drivers in my mind. I get to drop my daughter off, and there's a line of cars that all come around, and there's a little pause and a break in the line, and this person literally out of nowhere just, boom, comes in. One more time, crazy Chicagoland drivers, are you serious? You know, starting your day off great with all these, you know, great positive thoughts. And I dropped my daughter off, and we were actually running a little bit late that day, and so I was already anxious, and I was upset with these people. Y'all figure out how to drive, and I'm mad. And I'm thinking about my day, and I've got a ton of meetings. One of them starts, and I'm actually going to be late to it. And so I'm thinking about, man, I got to do this. And then I look up in the rearview mirror again. I go, ooh. So I grab my phone. Do I text my wife? Absolutely not. I text Pastor Phil. I said, hey, Phil, I'm going to be a little bit late for my meeting. I'm getting pulled over right now. And then I was like, I should not be on my phone right now either. Oh, my goodness. Hope they didn't see that. And so I pull over and, good morning, officer. Good morning. Were you aware that you were speeding back there? And I was like, honestly, no. I drive this road every day. I didn't look down. I didn't intend to do it. Just, I messed up. People ask me, like, did you play the pastor card? Which, by the way, what is that, by the way? I'm like talking to them, hey, listen, I'm good with him, so are we good here? Like, I don't even know what that is. I don't know how I would play that anyway. Didn't try to talk my way out of it? No, absolutely wasn't intentional, but was I in the wrong? For sure. So I just talk with him. Second I pull away, I hear God say to me, hey, what are we talking about this weekend? Oh, judging other people. How often is it that, you, and you're just terrible, and you, And some of you really should work on it. I had four people after first service. Yeah, I got pulled over this week too. Seriously, work on it, all right? But how often we're like, you people. And then we miss looking in the mirror and realizing we are those same people too. Why do we judge people? Can I just ask you that this morning? Why do we judge people? I think there's a variety of different reasons. Maybe if you're anything like me, it's not that I consciously like chose to, I don't hate those people. I just get annoyed and I'm frustrated. And so I judge. Honestly, when we judge others, what if we begin to view our judgment of others more as a mirror? Actually, a lot of times it has less to do with them and a whole lot more to say about us. But maybe why else do we judge people? And I think there's probably a variety of reasons, and maybe it's different things for you. Maybe you just see somebody and they're so different from you, you just don't understand. Man, we're vastly different, so we jump to judgment from a distance instead. Maybe they've hurt you in the past. Maybe you're actually jealous of them, and that's the way it comes out. Why do we judge them? And maybe, listen, we don't judge them, right? But we find ourselves sharing, like, gossipy things about them. Like, no, I'm not judging her, but man, she needs some help because did you see what she did? Oh, she's awful, isn't she? Oh, I'm not judging her, I'm just saying. Gossipy type comments, maybe. Or maybe, the longer you've been a Christian, you're holding people to a standard that you've chosen to live by that they themselves have not yet discovered. And so maybe what you're sharing with them, even when your motivation is good, it's not so much what you're saying, but how it's being received to them. And they say, oh, those Christians, they're just judgmental instead. Yet here's what I found, and this is just from my own heart. When I began to follow Jesus, when I grew up in church, but when I got serious about my faith in my college years, when I recognized I have lived life doing everything I want to do, experiencing everything I want, and I know I'm still empty inside. But because I grew up in church, I knew I was created to experience love and joy and peace and life. And honestly, my heart feels more like a tomb. This is not how life is supposed to be lived. So one Sunday, I surrendered my life to God, and I said, Jesus, help me to follow you. And I knew, because I grew up in church, Jesus says, if any of you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross to follow me. I knew this is going to require my entire life. I don't just add faith on the top. It changes everything about my life. What was fascinating is that when I started following Jesus, how quickly I jumped from, God, thank you for your forgiveness for me, to legalistic, judgmental Christian, where I would look at the same people that I just partied with a few weeks ago and be like, my motivations were good. Are you kidding me? How are you living your life? Man, you got to stop it, because if you stop it, this life I'm experiencing now, but you got to stop. And the way that I communicated with him actually pushed them further away from Jesus, rather than drawing them to the God who could give them life. Maybe for us, we don't see it as judgment, but it's how it feels to them. Or I also think, for many of you, okay, Galen, we went through the different weeks. Some weeks hit me, some weeks didn't. Anger, forgiveness, lust, the different things. Galen, I don't judge people. Like, that's great you're talking to the church, but it's not for me today. If that's you, just hear me real fast. The enemy doesn't need us to go around hating people. I don't think that's his goal. But what if we label and assign categories on people just so that we can keep them at arm's distance and we don't really have to interact? Oh, no, I don't hate them. I don't judge them. But I'm also not loving them and showing them the grace of Jesus. I'm also not sharing with them the hope and the faith that we have. Not from a judgmental place, but because I want them to experience it too. In that sense, I think this message is for all of us. So today, how do we go from this unconscious, how we look at others? What does Jesus have to say about it? We go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at the first 5 verses today. And if you do have your Bible, and I'm going to go a few other places, but just keep it here. This is where we're going to center today, on these 5 verses. Jesus begins, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you and get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." These are strong words from Jesus, aren't they? Oh, how could you do that? How could you look at them in that way? You can't see past. You're a hypocrite. Ooh, strong words, Jesus. I want us to walk through this. I think we might discover something. Going back to verses 1 and 2. "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others." That standard in which you judge others is actually the same way that God is going to judge you. Which for me brings an interesting question to mind. Think of it this way. What if God treated you like you treat other people? Can I ask you today, how do you treat other people? Oh, I'm mostly a good person. I'm kind. I'm generous. Yeah, and what when we lose our cool? We yell at somebody. It happens that we may not even say out loud, but we think those thoughts about somebody. We judge them and we look down on them, and if they could just get their life together. Jesus is actually saying the way that you interact with others is the way that God will interact with you. That is very strong language. How do we develop a heart then that doesn't see others and look down on others and to judge them, but instead to love them as Jesus sees them? I think as Jesus is looking at how we relate to one another, how do we actually interact with one another? What is our role in how we look to others? And today, first thing, let me tell you, your role is not judge. And honestly, I mean, I say, thank God for that. Even as a pastor and you're reading God's word and you're probably going to judge me because you know more. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not judge. Actually, scripture says, don't judge one another before Jesus comes back, because people will surprise you. The people you thought that had it all together, they'll realize that, man, there were some hidden things in their life. People that you looked down on and judged, maybe they found Jesus later in life. Don't judge each other, actually. It's not your role. James 4:12 says, God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? It is not your role. How do we begin to see people as Jesus sees them? Because honestly, when we look to others, it is easy to look down or up. Unconsciously, we play the game of comparison over and over. We're not meaning to do it. We don't want to do it, but unconsciously we do. And C.S. Lewis, I love this. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. Because unconsciously, we may look down on them so that we can feel good about ourselves in a moment. Oh, at least I'm not like them. But isn't that even still your joy? Because it develops a heart towards that person that is hard, and you're looking down on them. Or even if you look up, oh man, I'm nothing. One day, if I could be like them, if I could have the car they have, the job, and it makes you realize, and you forget when you're doing that, how much value you have. God looks at you just as you are today and loves you. Comparison steals our joy. So then how do we look at people as God does? We are not the judge, so let's not condemn them. And some of you are like, okay, Galen, for the average person, I get that. But like, what about the really bad people, right? We can tell, right? We can condemn them. Romans 2 says this, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. I know, lots of good news today. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, actually. For you who judge others do these very same things. How do we begin to look at others differently? Honestly, if I ask the people that are close to you in your life, the ones you live with, people you work with, your friends that you hang out with, by interacting with you, are they pushed further away from Jesus? Or is your life like a magnet where they are drawn to something within you? They don't even know where they have words for it or names for it, but they can tell that there is life, there is something different within you. Our lives should be a magnet for others. I think Spurgeon says it well at one point. He says, listen, judging others and complaining, it's contagious, isn't it? Have you been in that social setting where one person says, oh my goodness, that person, they're terrible because they made this decision. And then somebody else chimes in, oh yeah, and last week they did that last, and then somebody else jumps in. It's a political season. Oh my goodness, can you believe that we're going to elect this person or this person either way? Oh yeah, and then how awful. And it's contagious, isn't it? Spurgeon says, so is kindness and praise. In the same situations, begin to celebrate other people. Man, listen, I know they don't have their life all together, but did you see what they did? That was amazing. Did you see how they showed up for other people? And watch as that is contagious and changes the room too. Spurgeon actually goes one point further and is very, very strong. He said, listen, if you had God's praise in your mouth, you would not be criticizing others so much. Here's the difference. When you're looking at others, it's easy to look down and judge. When you're looking to God, we find humility in our rightful place. When we look to God, God, thank you for saving me, because I wasn't perfect either, and I'm not who I once was, and I'm not perfect yet, but God, thank God I'm not who I used to be. God, you have forgiven me. Every morning you wake up and your mercy is new towards me. You look on me with love and you want what's best for me. God, thank you. And when you're saying thank you, thank you, thank you, it's really hard to complain about others. And Romans 2 goes on, it not only says, don't do these things, but then it gives us the helpful picture then of how we should live in relation to others. It says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Earlier I asked the question, what if God treated you like you treat other people? And I want to ask you the opposite question. What if you begin to treat other people as God has treated you? You tend to think for a moment, how did God treat me? At any point in your life, while you were living for yourself and you sinned and your sin caused destructive, chaotic things in your life and broken relationships and pain and hurt in somebody else, God could have swooped down in a moment as rightful judge. Sorry, there's no hope for you. You stand condemned. But what does he do? Scripture describes God, the most quoted verse in Scripture by Scripture, to tell us who God is. For God is slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate, merciful. In this language, God is kind towards you, isn't he? He's tolerant of, oh, they haven't figured it out, but I'm still going to stick it out with them. Tolerant and patient. Why? And then more kindness after that. Why? Is intended for us to see his goodness, to turn from our sin, that once we realize, man, I've been living for myself and life is empty instead, now I live for him. He's patient with us. Can we do this for others? I want you to try to picture someone in your mind right now, and do not say it out loud so your neighbors can hear. Picture them in your mind. The person for you, when you look at this list, it is hard for you to be wonderfully kind to them. Honestly, every time they're in the room, when they open their mouth and they begin to speak, you're like, kindness is the last thing as I think about you and how to relate with you. Or maybe to even tolerate them. Man, when they're here, and I just want to leave, and do we really have to invite them? It's hard for you. Or not just kind or tolerant, but patient. When they're there, you just want to rush through the conversation and be done. It is hard for me to show these things to you. Now, with that person in your mind, maybe the prayer for all of us, God, help us to love this person with kindness instead of judgment, so that they may not experience your judgment, but God, your kindness as well. We have to view people as God does, for he loves them. He created them like a father. He wants them to come back home. And we need that perspective too. As Jesus is speaking, verse 1 and 2, don't judge others as you judge them. You too will be judged. And then he takes the turn in verses 3 through 5. He says, and why worry about that speck in your friend's eye when you have the log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get that speck out of your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. For me, here's the picture. If you've been with us these last 6 weeks in this series, man, as we talk about things of anger and lust or our desires, what we want from others that they have and we don't, things like revenge, the lack of forgiveness that lives in our heart, either the pride we have or the worthlessness as we look at ourselves, or last week, our worries and our fears and our anxieties. Man, the longer we look at these teachings of Jesus, the more it should make us realize, God, I got a log in my own eye. There's some things I need to work on in my life. Maybe I shouldn't be so quick to look at others because I still got some work in my own life. It should cause humility within us. Today, as I look at these verses, I want to give you a picture of them. And listen, I understand you may not remember everything that I said today, but I think by giving you a visual picture of this, maybe that would be what you would remember. Because I think each one of us today probably fall into three categories, one of three kind of people. And so today I maybe want you to identify what kind of person, or at least today, where you are. So I've asked for a little bit of help, Pastor Ethan and Robert, if you guys want to come up here and help me. I did ask them before service. You can go ahead and come up. I did ask them before service. I'm not just pointing at random people like, hey, you, come up here and help me. Pastor Ethan, our NAS rec pastor, always doing a great job. And my friend Robert, at least they're my friends today. Did you guys wear the same shirt today? We called each other this morning. That's awesome. Robert, I'm going to have you come stand over here. That's really funny. I didn't realize that when I first asked you. So I want you to stand here. Today, Robert is going to be God in this illustration, okay? I told him he didn't have to say anything, you know, like speak for God. He's just going to be God, and God probably has a great beard too. And Ethan is going to be my friend. At least we're friends for now. We'll see after this how this goes. And Robert, I want you to see these. What I have here are some sleeping masks meant for like an international flight, completely blacked out. Can't see a thing through them. And my friend Ethan, well, he's a good guy, but he has a speck in his eye, okay? So I want you to put that on with one eye closed and one eye open. Think you can do that for me? Okay? And God, I'm going to give you these giant, oversized, for some reason, tweezers. And I want to be the person in the middle that shows you, I think, maybe, where we can fit ourselves as Jesus tells the story. You can see, you look phenomenal, by the way. That's great. That's great. Jesus says, oh, you have a friend with a speck in their eye. But he also says, you have a log in your own. So, this morning, I want to show you maybe how we live life. First of all, the first person is we turn and we look at others in our world. Hello, Ethan. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. You're still there. And we look at the other people in our life. And we look at them and we say things like, hey, Ethan, I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't know if you've looked in the mirror lately. You have something on your face. There's something wrong with your eye. Dude, this is an issue in your life. You really need to address it. And, like, to be honest, man, just let me help you. Like, I have these awesome tweezers here and, like, Let me help you. Are these the bent ones or the straight ones? Okay, these are the bent ones. Okay. Hey, Ethan, I'm going to help you because honestly, man, like I'm worried about you and you need to get it fixed. Stand still. And they're making me nervous by laughing. So stand still. And I'm going to get your eye for you, okay? All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Let me get it. Wait, where'd you go? Where'd you go? And he moved. How many of us, our disposition is we're looking at other people. The only thing we can see is what's wrong with them. And even if we have the best motives in the world, let me help you. Because of our own blind spots, we're maybe unable to help them. And is there any trust here? Did he stand still or did he run away? You're here now, I'm sure you are. There's no trust and they don't want this kind of help. Maybe person number one is that we look at others in our world and we only see what's wrong with them. But maybe is there another person? Person number two. Well, Jesus said, don't judge others or it's going to be judged by you the same way you treat others, the same way you're going to be treated. And Jesus says, don't worry about that speck in their own eye because I got a log in my own and like I recognize it. And I'm a good person. I don't want to judge other people. And then maybe eventually we would turn and we would say, God, I've been living my life the way that I wanted to live it. It's led to brokenness and hurt, and my soul is empty. And God, I've got this issue. And while I've tried to address it myself, I can't address the underlying issues. And God, I know it's a heart problem. It's not a surface level. And God, if you made me and if you love me, if you want what's best for me, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you make me right with you? Would you help me to live the life that you want me to live? Loving you and serving others, God, I can't take care of this thing myself. Would you help me? And now, Rob, I got a lot of trust in you right now. These things are kind of sharp. You know, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, so please don't hurt me, okay? I'm trusting you. And in the picture of God, would you help me remove this thing from my life and to help me see as you intended me to see? Thank you. And thanks for starting at the outside and not my eyeball. That's wonderful. And now, first of all, let me say, if you haven't experienced this moment with God, would you let him forgive you of your sin? Would you let him turn your life towards him and begin to see the life you've been created to live? But also, it doesn't stop here. Don't miss this. How many of us, once we experience this moment, oh, God, you're amazing. You're wonderful. Thank you. You've forgiven me. You're so good. This is awesome. Thank you. In fact, I just want to spend my own, because Jesus said, like, don't judge other people. And, like, there might be other people in the world with things that are going on in their life. But, God, you said, do I need to address? So I'm going to work on me. And, like, so I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to love it. I'm going to join my life group. I'm going to pray with some friends. And I'm just probably not even going to interact with anybody else, honestly, right? Because I got to work on me. So we go here. But did you notice what Jesus said? He said that you would address the log in your own eye. Then what? So that then you might be able to help others. We can't fall in the danger of person number two, where we look to God and thank you, God, this is amazing, but we never turn around to help others. So is there a third person? And this person who's not looking and not judging the world, and God, thank you, and I've received grace, and you're changing my heart and my life. And now, as I look to others, hello, friend, that we might begin to help. It's fascinating even when Jesus, the language he uses, he says that you would be able to see what? Well enough. Not that you're perfect. Well, Jesus, I'm going to wait until I'm perfect and then I go. But I can see well enough. I've experienced God's grace in my life. He is changing me. I'm not perfect, but I'm not who I used to be. To then turn and say, do you remember the demeanor from the first person? Hey, you're wrong. Let me fix that for you. Stop it. What if our demeanor was instead? Hey, friend. Ethan, we've been friends, what, 8 years now? Somewhere in there? Hey, man, I know we haven't talked a lot about this, but, man, I just want to share a little bit of my own story. Man, when I was living my own way, I had this thing in my life, and there was this sin. Man, I couldn't find freedom. I couldn't find life. I couldn't find joy until I took it to God. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm definitely not perfect today, but God has worked on me in such a way where I'm experiencing joy and peace. Man, I don't know if you in your life, if you've ever felt like you've got an issue too. But maybe, instead of me fixing, because I can't fix people, would you come with me? I want to introduce you to a God who loves you and maybe could change your life. So I want to invite you to come with me. And as you do, me and God together, to say, if you would be willing, are you willing? Can we help you?
Yes.
That us together.
Leave it to him.
Perfect. We might find healing. Hey, could you thank my friends Ethan and Robert for helping us out today? I want you to notice the difference of that third person. Do we come at people telling them what is wrong in their life? Or do we come to our friends, our family, our coworkers, and sharing in vulnerability what God has done for us? Do you see the difference of how that's received? People don't want to be told what is wrong, but they are maybe more open than they have ever been to experiencing real life. And God, this is what God has done for me. Maybe if you would come with me, he could do it for you too. And it is built in the context of relationship. When I say vulnerability, some of you immediately are like, does that mean weakness to be vulnerable? Vulnerability is a sign of strength. Do you know how strong of a person it takes to say, my life wasn't as it should be, and today it's not perfect, but I'm moving forward? And vulnerability builds trust, and trust is the currency of relationship. People don't want to listen to you if you don't have relationship with them. It is easy for us to judge from afar. The closer we get in proximity, we love. Even God does not sit up in heaven judging. He comes near in the person of Jesus. He draws near in proximity and chooses to love. So we too should do the same thing. And it's not just, I do hope you remember the illustration and where am I at today and God, what is it you would want me to do? But I want you to see that it has real life implications for your family members, for your friends, for your neighbors, the people you interact with. Because how easy is it for us to look at someone today and only see past, where they have failed us before, how they have messed up time after time after time, and so we put them in that category. It's so easy for us to see them there versus, what if they met Jesus? And what if Jesus began to change and transform their life, who they could become? For me, I was given the picture of that this week. I want to introduce you to my friend Walter. Walter was here on Friday night for Celebrate Recovery. I think we got a picture with him and Kathy Powell, who's the ministry leader of our Celebrate Recovery. Every Friday night here at the church, it's open for anybody, hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We do great work together. And Walter was here this Friday to get baptized. He'd been coming for a little while. And Walter began to share his story. And Walter, his dad was never present in his life. His mom worked two jobs. So he started drinking at the age of 12. This led to alcoholism later in life, which led to in and off the streets and in and out of jail. How easy is it for us to look at someone only by their past and say, you're 60 years old today and this started when? If you can't change in all this time, I don't really see how you're going to change now. But thank God we serve a God who changes our stories. He began to share in his testimony. 3 months ago, I came to the end of myself. I knelt down and I said, God, I need you. I've tried to do this my own way for so long. God, would you come and would you save me? Would you help me? Would you save me? Walter's sharing this and tears are streaming down his face. And he looks up at the people gathered. And he says, and today, I started when I was 12. Today, I am 3 months sober, and it is the longest I have ever been sober in my life. And I know it was God who's changing me. Walter and I walked around to the back, came up into the baptismal waters. He confessed, I believe in Jesus. Confessed in my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, from Romans 10. He goes down into the water, dying to his old way of life, dying to his sin, dying to the old him, and being raised into new life, forgiven and made right with God. Walter points up to heaven. He says, thank you, thank you. And then he falls to his face on the front of the baptismal, crying and just saying, God, thank you. For him, he found Jesus. When we look at our family members and our neighbors, our coworkers and our acquaintances, I'm in the routine of life. I'm busy. I got to be somewhere. I got this thing now. I got this thing later. I got this thing tomorrow. What if we begin to see what could happen if they meet Jesus? This is how we can stop judging others and to see them as God wants them to see them. And then when God gives us the opportunity to boldly and courageously for 15 seconds, hey, would you come with me? Even if you're not comfortable in sharing the good news of Jesus yourself, would you come with me? Would you sit with me? Because here's what God's done for me, and I think he could do it for you too. Today as we respond, here's what we're going to do. Throughout this series, we've had tables around the sanctuary where you could respond in a number of different ways. Today specifically, I want you to pray for someone. And praying for someone, it softens your heart towards them. But today I want you to pray that they might come to find Jesus. Instead of noticing the speck in their eye and what's wrong in their life, shouldn't that be a call to prayer for them anyway? Jesus, would you help them? Would they come to know you, to pray for them? And then as we leave this place, we would actually maybe live out the answer to our prayer. That we would not only pray for them, but maybe we would invite them. That we could interact with them in our life to say, maybe you could come to know God too. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me today? God, today, we are thankful that you look at us with kindness. Thank you that you are patient even when we have not followed you. Thank you that you have come to save us. Right now in this moment, God, would you remind somebody, even if they've never heard these words before, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God, let us live as if these words are true for us today, because they are. God, maybe for the first person today to come before you and say, God, forgive me of my sin. Address the sin issue in my life. Change and transform me and help me to live for you. God, for each one of us, help us not to only be content with receiving your grace, but that we would look to others in our life to offer it to them too. God, I pray for people now in these moments as we come forward, as we come down from the balcony, as we fill these tables, as we pray for other people, that it would change our heart towards them. We wouldn't just look down on them for what's wrong in their life. But God, we would pray for them that they might experience your love and that that would change them. And God, this week as we leave, give us moments and opportunities where we would recognize maybe 15 awkward seconds for us could change someone's eternity. So give us the courage and the boldness to say, come with me. I'm going to this service. I sit here. Would you sit with me too? Come to church with me this Easter. And God, would people respond this week with yes? So God, in these next few quiet moments as we pray for others, would you change our hearts and would you move in the lives of those that we are praying for? We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.